Hey, Harpy Hour fans. We're running a very special promotion for all of our loyal listeners.
It's a merch giveaway, specifically our logo stickers, because, well, it's the only merch we have right now.
But there's a catch. We're not just giving them away. You have to earn them. To get a sticker, subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or any of your preferred streaming platforms.
So send us a screenshot or picture proof that you've done both of those things. So again, that's subscribing to the show and leaving a review. You can send it to any of our social media accounts at Harpy Hour Pod, or you can email it to harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, also give us your address so we can mail you the sticker.
You'll also get a shout out on social media and in an episode of the show for our thanks. And don't worry, if you can only do one of those two things for whatever reason, I don't know why, do both, you'll still get a shout out, but no sticker. So make the effort. Do better.
This promo is only going to last until we've given away our first 20 stickers, or if this whole thing crashes and burns, whatever happens first. So hurry up! Run, don't walk, and get your sticker now.
Also, don't forget to tell your friends, because you know what's cooler than having matching stickers on your water bottle or a laptop?
Nothing.
Nothing. There's literally nothing cooler than that.
Nope.
So tell your friends, you can each get stickers, show off your friendship, and share your Harpy love.
And remember, if you want to see even more Harpy Hour merch coming up, support us on Patreon. These funds will help us improve the show and grow our brand.
Now, before you enjoy the episode, check out this promo for another awesome podcast to add to your list. And stick around for Harpy Hour!
My name is Paige, and I'm the host of Reverie True Crime. Reverie means to daydream. But even daydreams can become nightmares. Come join me and get lost in horrific reverie about true crimes and eerie events. Reverie True Crime Podcast, available wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
Harpy Hour may contain explicit language, as well as graphic, violent, and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Harpy Hour!
The harpiest of all the hours in the world.
And we are your favorite harpies.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Liz.
I'm Steph.
And this is our podcast where we share ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
I wish you guys could see me when I say my name, because my arms like involuntarily just like shoot up in a happy stance.
Like you're on a roller coaster?
Yeah, kind of.
I definitely did like a Y with mine for no reason.
Like, why? I'm on a
roller. Yeah, you know, like a YMCA. Just like,
yeah,
woo!
It's like wild. There's no Y in Liz.
It's just like a roller coaster arms. I don't know.
Am I the only one who just like sits in my seat and says like, I'm Steph?
Yeah, because
like,
you're not excited to be you and to be a harpy.
Oh! That's
sad.
I'm very excited to be me. Thank you very much.
I just feel rude. Like maybe the enthusiasm isn't there.
Well, hey, you guys know who's excited to be a fan of our show?
Who is it, Liz? Who is it?
Tell me.
Lonnie from Australia.
Lonnie?
Australia, mate.
Down under. Oh, we're so sorry, Lonnie.
We apologize in advance for all of our accents.
You should have known this was coming.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
I also didn't
have... We're American.
Have...
We can't help it. We have to do the Australian terrible accent whenever we mention Australia.
We also didn't have the forethought to ask how to pronounce your name, but I feel
it could
like
be Lanny. We're not sure. Lonnie, mate.
Lanai.
From the land down under.
Thank you so much for listening to us from the other side of the world. We super appreciate it.
I wonder if she enjoys our American accent as much as we enjoy other countries' accents.
Please tell us. Tweet us. Let us know what you think about it, Lonnie. And thank you for subscribing and reviewing us. I feel tell like all your friends to do it too.
The world views American accents
as like trashy,
poorly. And yeah, like trashy. Yeah.
Well, because I don't think there's no one American accent.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's true. They like to say in Cleveland, because that's where they send all the newscasters to like drop their regional accents. They like to say that Cleveland is the American standard. I disagree.
Oh, there's that show Hollywood on Netflix.
Ooh, well, I want to watch summer. That.
Did you see that?
I want to watch
like
it.
There's like a scene where these actresses are like taking, what's it called? Like allocution. What's that word?
Allocution.
Allocution. Yeah. They're like taking, you know, allocution classes, or they're just being trained.
Oh, elocution. You're
elocution.
Elocution.
Yes. Yeah.
Electrocution.
Allocution is when allocution is what you do in court when you admit your guilt. I thought that's where, okay, you were.
No,
going.
No, no, no. Not ahead. That one.
Elocution is pronunciation and stuff. Yeah.
Alopecia.
But so they're being taught the quote mid-Atlantic accent.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The teacher is like, what's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? And they're like, nothing. And they're like, exactly. Like, this doesn't exist. Like, this is an accent that is not actually correct, real or natural to any place. It's just a style of speaking that we're trying to portray as being, mm-hmm, like the appropriate, proper standard. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So anything that deviates from that is considered an accent. But even Clevelanders have a little twang. Like they say, like they would say, that's not, I don't have an accent. Yes, you do. Listen to the way you accent. Said accent. Accent. It's like a long A, accent.
Accent.
Okay, well, that's
awful.
That's not right, but okay.
No. Coffee.
Yeah, coffee. Gotta go down Broadway and get my coffee.
Did I tell you of a friend in New Jersey who insists that dog and log don't rhyme because it's dog and log?
You are completely incorrect, sir or madam. That's not.
She's a very educated woman.
That's not. I think no.
She obviously knows they rhyme, but she just says dog.
Well, Steph, rum and bedroom rhyme.
No. No.
No. Oh my God. Also, Steph, I drove through Jersey twice this week.
Did you wave hello to week. Steph's family, or were they I buried under the cats in her house?
I did not.
You could
but
not
I saw some
them.
Interesting things on my drive. Not yes. in New Jersey. But in.
The turnpike is very scenic. It's beautiful.
I mean, I do appreciate those rest stops. They have the best rest stops on the whole like mid-Atlantic trip.
We do have some pretty great rest stops.
Jersey is way more about the smells than the sights.
But in Cape Cod, Tracy, I mm-hmm. saw signs for a place called Craigville Beach.
Oh, God.
On a highway sponsored by Tracy Automotive.
Shut up. No, that's not real. I don't believe that. I do not believe that for a minute. I believe I would have had a Snapchat if that were the case.
Well, I didn't. I was like, oh, Tracy Automotive. And then like a little bit down the road, oh, Craigville Beach.
Oh.
And we were driving.
There's a place in Yellowstone.
In the stars. Oh, God. It's written in the highway signs.
There's a place in Yellowstone called Craig Pass. And Craig was very excited to go there. We passed through it, but we never took the picture. It was tragic. He's
well,
probably
if you didn't
upset.
Snapchat it, I don't believe it.
No, that's
it's not on Snapchat. It's not real.
Ugh. Anyway, we have a big Liz. Announcement today.
Yeah, I was going to say, Liz, what are we doing today? But I guess, Tracy, what are we doing yeah. today?
Well, it doesn't super matter. I was just saying that we have a big announcement, and I was going to defer to one of you two to say what that announcement was. Guys, when we don't script things, this shit gets bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Right. Someone should have written this out. Okay, go ahead. Liz is going to do it.
Well, no, for next time.
We can't do anything like spur of the moment except for make fun of shit.
Well, we have an exciting new Harpy Hour for you all. A new Harpy Hour format, we should say.
It will still be the harpiest of hours.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And maybe actually a legitimate hour.
Or even less.
We've been listening to you all, and we have decided to, instead of squeezing all of our segments into one episode, we are going to start a rotation. So today, Tracy's going to kick us off.
Yeah, I am.
It's going to be a Tracy episode, and we will rotate episodes.
Tracy episode!
And we are super interested in hearing how you like this. Please give it some time and enjoy it. But let us know.
Yeah. Give us time to rotate around a little bit and see how it goes.
And hopefully it's a little more bite-sized for your enjoyment so that, you know.
Not information overload.
So that we're not taking up your entire commute. Just a little, you know, a little bit of it. Hopefully your commute is not 2 hours.
Your commute
also,
from your kitchen to your living room.
Some people, you go places, Steph.
I do go places.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people don't go places.
But you should, when you are going places, you can listen to us in a much smaller frame of time.
We're like one grocery run.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
It's perfect.
All right. So, Tracy.
What?
What do you got this week?
This week, I'm going to talk about Let Bartlett Be Bartlett.
No.
All right. Well, end of segment.
I don't have a strong opinion about that.
I will not. Okay. Do not tell me what to do, madam.
All right. Well, I guess we're done. That was a good 9-minute episode.
Okay, bye. Look, we made it really short and sweet for everyone.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Happy new Bite format. Oh, God. Like I said, my teaser is Let Bartlett Be Bartlett. And for those of you who are in the know, you know that that is a slogan from the TV show The West Wing. Ooh. This week, I thought, as a primer for our upcoming election in the United States, which Lonnie wouldn't know about because she's Australian.
I mean, I feel like
very sadly, she knows all too much about it because the whole world.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about our president.
Knows about the garbage dumpster.
The whole world
of...
is watching this dumpster fire happen and laughing at us.
You know what I just thought I sounded like right now in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when Paul Rudd is like, "You sound like you're from London." I feel like that's what I sounded like when I was like, Paul "Okay, Rudd. Mate." You sound like you're from London. What a beautiful movie. I want to watch that again.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Oh my God, it's so good. We've been rewatching How I Met Your Mother, and one of the roommates was like, "Isn't this the guy who wrote the Dracula musical?" And I'm like, "Well, it's the same actor. I don't think he wrote the Dracula musical, but yes, it's the same one." So let's talk about something that Jason Segel is not in, which is The West Wing.
Is this going to be like your SVU segment, or are you just going to like list all the characters? And
I mean, we're
going
to talk about the characters, but I have a thesis statement for later. I had a thesis statement in the SVU
one. A thesis statement. Then there's a 5-paragraph essay.
No, it's 3 paragraphs. You have the thesis, then the 3 supporting arguments, and then the conclusion. God,
right,
Steph!
So it's which makes it a 5-paragraph
New
essay.
Jersey public schools have failed you.
You just described 5 paragraphs.
Yes, but you said then 5 paragraphs, and that's not
Oh, whatever. I just meant that you're doing a 5-paragraph essay.
Roll the tape! Anyway,
I want to do like just a compilation of all of our like receipts where it's just us pointing out to each other all the times that we had the evidence.
There's a lot of fucking banter in this new format. Like, if people don't like our shenanigans, this is not going to go well.
It's just going to be a 30-minute of banter, 30-minute of Tracy's segment, another 30-minute of banter, and we're still going to be sitting here 1.5 hours later in the same episode.
You're welcome for shortening your episodes, audience. Okay, I'm going to start. So,
I mean, there's a lot more room for nonsense now.
It really is. Okay, so.
Especially with Tracy's segments, they're usually the shortest.
Not this week.
Well, her SVU one was very long, and we had to make.
I had feelings, okay? But I had a thesis statement in that one. My thesis statement was explaining why white women love SVU and what was comforting about it.
Yeah, after we went through 40 minutes of characters.
Well, you're not making it any shorter, so... All right.
Okay.
The West Wing.
Continue.
The West Wing is an American drama series that ran from 1999 to 2006. It was created and written by Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin is a god. And fun fact, in my Bumble profile, I wrote Sorkin dialogue as one of my interests. True story.
I see how you won over Craig.
I can see what caught Craig's attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly it was this. No, he had never watched West Wing. I introduced him to West Wing because I am cultured. Cultured
AF. I still
AF.
Have not watched the West Wing.
I've watched a few episodes.
Well, this will be lost on you, but here we go. Aaron Sorkin actually left after season 4, which is when the ratings dropped. It takes place primarily in the West Wing of the White House, which is where the president lives and works, for our international listeners.
For Lonnie.
We yes. have that one from UK as well.
And for the Swedes.
Yeah, we have a couple.
She's our Patreon supporter. She was our first Patreon supporter.
Oh, she's...
We have more international.
I didn't realize she's from the UK.
During a fictitious Democratic presidential administration. It's loosely based on the 1999 film, The American President, for which Aaron Sorkin wrote the screenplay. There are several accolades that have been bestowed on The West Wing over the years. It is ranked number 10 on the 101 Best Written TV Series by the Writers Guild of America. Would you care to guess what the other 9 are?
Of all time?
Of Ooh. All time.
How I Met Your Mother.
Not on there. Not in the top 10, at least.
Friends.
There are a couple that I'm kind of surprised by, but...
Can you give us...
like Happy Days.
No.
Genres? Are they sitcoms? Are they
They run dramas? The gamut. They run the gamut, okay. Yeah. It's everything.
The Sopranos.
Yeah, ooh, Sopranos
The Sopranos
one.
Is number one. Ooh, I got it!
Nice.
I never watched it.
Is Game of Thrones on there?
Game of Thrones is not on there.
Okay.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, just tell us.
Okay. Number 9 is The Wire, which is brilliant, but I don't know if it's better than the others.
Never watched that one.
Number 8 is Cheers. Number 7 is Mad Men. Number 6 is The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh.
Number 5 is MASH, which I totally agree with. That one's beautiful. Number 4 is All in the Family. No. Disagree. Number 3 is Twilight Zone. Number 2 is Seinfeld. And number 1 is The Sopranos.
Seinfeld.
I would have put Game of Thrones in there. I would have put MASH higher up. I would have put a couple other things, but whatever. I wasn't on the committee. Rude. The West Wing also won several awards. 2 Peabody Awards, 2 Screen Actors Guild Awards, 3 Golden Globes, and 26 Primetime Emmy Awards, which is tied with Game of Thrones, L.A. Law, and something else for, Hill Street Blues.
For what, number 1?
For the most Emmys.
The most Emmys, yeah.
They won 9 in the first year, which is a record for most won by a series in its first season. They won 4 consecutive Outstanding Drama Series Awards from 2000 to 2003. And that ties them with Hill Street Blues, LA Law, Mad Men, and GOT, which are the only others to win 4 consecutive times in a row. Allison Janney is the cast member with the most Emmy Awards, winning 4 for her work just on West Wing.
She's really talented.
I love her. She is a badass bitch. So let's go through a couple characters. I promise I parred this down. Okay.
Season 1.
80 characters.
Okay. So there's
Season 6, episode 7. We are introduced to the mailman.
So there's President Josiah Jed Bartlett. He's played by Martin Sheen. The character is a Nobel Prize winner in economics and former governor of New Hampshire. And he also, spoiler, spoiler. I'm going to say spoiler before things happen in case you want to watch, but it's not that big of a spoiler. It's a big plot point.
Okay. Everybody anyway. Press the 30 second forward button.
Can I? I haven't watched it yet.
So he suffers from relapsing remitting MS, which he initially hides during the campaign. So that becomes a big thing in the second season. Then there's Chief of Staff Leo McGarry, played by John Spencer. He's the campaign manager for Bartlett's campaign and then becomes Chief of Staff in the administration. He ends up divorcing his wife, Jenny, during season one because Leo wasn't home often enough, which, I mean, he really wasn't. And he was also a fighter pilot in Vietnam. So he brings a lot of, like, the armed forces acumen to the stage because Bartlett is largely academic. Then there's Deputy Chief of Staff Josh Lyman. He's played by Bradley Whitford.
I don't know the characters, but he is my favorite actor.
Bradley Whitford is pretty great.
I mean, not like my favorite of all time, but like he's pretty awesome.
Real good. He's real good. This was his first like breakout show.
I saw him not like up close and personal really, but the one of the first 4th of July concerts I went to here when I moved to DC. You know how they always have it by like the Capitol building or something, and there's always a celebrity host.
And oh my God, so he was Bradley Whitford?
Yeah, he was the host that year. I love that I went to the concert. It was really awesome.
What is he in? I'm looking at his picture right now. He's so familiar, but I don't know what do I know him
most
from?
Recently, he plays Jake Peralta's dad on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh.
He also was the dad in Get Out.
Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
He's also in Cabin in the Woods, which is one of my favorite Halloween
He's in
anytime movies.
A lot of stuff.
He's good. He's good stuff.
He's so good. He's fucking brilliant in The West Wing. You should watch just for him. He's amazing. The character, Josh Lyman, is a literal Rhodes Scholar, but he's kind of like the frat boy of the group. He has a fan site, you know, like all government officials, called lemonlyman.com, where all of these women like fawn over him, and it's hilarious. There's like a whole episode about it. It's great. Spoiler. He gets shot in the season one finale by white supremacists and spends the subsequent seasons battling PTSD from the shooting. The white supremacists were not aiming at him. Josh Lyman's assistant, Donna Moss, played by Janelle Maloney. She is another one that is in like everything. You definitely have seen her. She has massive sexual tension with Josh. And she also has one of my very favorite quotes in the entire series. So she's telling Josh about why she broke up with her boyfriend to go work for Josh. And in the story, the ex-boyfriend finds out that Donna is in the hospital, that she was in like an accident, and on his way to the hospital, stops at the bar to get a beer with his buddies. And so Josh says, "If you were in the hospital, I wouldn't stop for a beer." And then Donna replies, "If you were in the hospital, I wouldn't stop for red lights." Oh, it's so good. I love it so much. Director of Communications, Toby Ziegler. He's played by Richard Schiff. He writes the president's speeches or oversees Sam writing the president's speeches mostly. Spoiler, he ends up having twins with his congresswoman ex-wife in the later seasons, which is so adorable. Aww. Also, big Yankees fan.
Boo.
That's a big theme throughout. You'll still love Toby. Don't worry. You'll still love him.
Go sports ball.
Yeah. Deputy Director of Communications, Sam Seaborn, played by Rob Lowe.
It's very dramatic. Rob Lowe.
Well, because originally, during the first couple of episodes, the whole series was supposed to be told from Sam's point of view, but everybody loved the ensemble cast so much that they just made it an ensemble cast and were like, fuck it. It's not from anyone's point of view. He has a pseudo relationship with Leo's daughter, Mallory, who is a teacher.
I thought you were going to say a teenager, and I was going to be like, teacher. Whoa.
Grade school
pseudo
teacher.
Pseudo relationship?
Yeah, they never like officially date, but they definitely like kind of dated.
They never DTR'd.
Wasn't Facebook official. Oh, they didn't DTR.
They didn't DTR, no. Definitely not. But they tried to go to the opera together, and that just didn't happen. Leo cockblocked Sam real hard. Sam also famously gets his ass kicked on TV by Republican Ainsley Hayes, who we will get to later. But he's known as being just, like, super sharp, like, an incredible writer. He's just, ugh, such a good character. Press secretary C.J. Craig, played by none other than Allison Janney, my favorite. Her Secret Service code name is Flamingo.
I like it. I
like it.
Oh my God, did you do Secret Service code names for all of us?
No, I couldn't think of any good ones.
Isn't it like, I know when they do the first family, they're all like the same letter. And they kind of get to pick from a list.
Well, they're either the same letter or they're like the same family. So like family of things, because Bartlett is Eagle. And I think his wife, Partridge, I don't know. But I think they're all birds of some kind. But anyway, so Flamingo, that would fit the bird theme. She has massive sexual tension with Washington Post reporter Danny Kincannon, which is definitely a no-no for the press secretary. So, you know, that's a thing. There's also a super cute scene where Danny, the reporter who flirts with CJ, I forget which character it is. Oh, it's Sam. Sam is talking to Danny about, like, you know, CJ problems. And he's like, she really likes goldfish. And he's like, okay. And he means goldfish the crackers. But Danny is like, oh, she likes fish. So he brings her a fucking goldfish.
And she's like, great, thanks.
Gale the goldfish. It's amazing.
Gale.
Gale.
A stupid name for a fish.
Gale has a Twitter account.
Did he give it to her named, or did she name it when she received it?
Unclear, but Gail has a Twitter account, so you can follow Gail the Goldfish. She retweets a lot of political stuff.
When I was really young, I had a goldfish and I named her Emily. It's also an equally stupid name for a fish.
At least Gail has alliteration. Gail the Goldfish.
I
know.
I just, as a kid, I liked the name Emily for some reason, so I named
my
fish Emily.
Sister's name.
Yeah, and then Emily died real fast.
No. You killed Emily.
I didn't kill it. So we had this little, you know, the things that make bubbles, like that filter the tank?
Yeah.
And they're always shaped like a treasure chest or something. We had one that was a sunken ship that would open and close.
Oh, yeah.
And I came home from school one day. I was like six or something. And Emily is just stuck in the ship. So it would close and it would open. You'd see the dead fish just lying there and it would close again.
That's traumatizing over and over and over.
I'm just like, where's Emily? Oh my God.
Okay, that was kind of funny.
Clearly, it's still in my brain. I remember it. It was very traumatizing.
Okay.
R.I.P. Emily.
Moving on.
I won her at a carnival.
The personal assistant to the president, Charlie Young, played by Dulay Hill of Psych fame. He's the guy on Psych. I never watched
it. The main character?
I like Psych.
The other guy, the black guy.
His sidekick.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That was a fun show for a little while. Got a little redundant, but I liked it for a while.
I never seen it.
My roommate just finished binging it, and it had the same, like, the way all last seasons of every series fizzles.
Yeah. The premise of that show is just, like, he pretends to be a psychic to, like, solve crimes, and really, he's just really intuitive. So he's just doing like the fake, like, what's his name? John Edwards or whatever. Like,
I divine something.
I'm getting something over here when actually he's just smart and figured out, like, some clue. I don't know.
Charlie dates the president's daughter, Zoe, off and on. He takes care of his younger sister when his policewoman mother is killed in the line of duty. So you learn that when he's first introduced. Then there's First Lady Abby Bartlett, played by Stockard Channing, a.k.a. Rizzo in Grease. She is a physician who treats Jed's MS in secret until it is disclosed publicly. And they have three daughters together, Liz, Ellie, and Zoe.
Aww.
Yep. First daughter, Zoe Bartlett, played by Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale.
Ew.
She attends Georgetown University, so she's the only, like, local daughter, really. The other ones are grown up. She's the youngest. and she dates Charlie off and on, as I mentioned. She's a much smaller character, but she's my like absolute favorite. So and you're going to be like, I don't understand how she's your favorite. And then you will understand. So Associate White House Counsel Ainsley Hayes. She is played by Emily Proctor. She is a Republican lawyer from North Carolina. She's hired on to the White House after kicking Sam's ass in a debate on TV. My personal favorite attribute of hers is that she's always hungry and asks for food. Like whenever they're sitting around a table, like debating policy or whatever, she'll be like, are those muffins for the group? Are they for the group? They should be for the group. Like, and she's fucking brilliant. Like, I disagree with everything she says, but she's fucking brilliant. And I love her.
If there's a basket of muffins on the table at a meeting, it is for
the group. It better be fair game.
Right?
Yeah. You can't just put muffins out.
But she's incredibly polite, so she's going to ask before she takes your muffin. That's just etiquette.
No, you just go for the muffins. Nobody wants to be the first one to grab muffins at, like, one of those meetings or whatever.
I will be the first one.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, actually.
I feel like sometimes with that kind of thing, people will just, like, sit around with the food in the middle.
Staring at it, waiting for someone to make the first move.
I don't. I am that person that makes the first move.
And then once someone does, it's like a free for all. It's like everyone descends.
Well, that's my role. You're welcome.
Ainsley and I are that person who eat the muffins first.
Back when we could have meetings and shared food.
A little bit of trivia. The West Wing developed the walk and talk, which is described as like a long Steadicam shot that shows characters walking up and down like a hallway while involved in a long conversation. And then this is a direct quote from Wikipedia because they explained it really well, so I just copied it. In a typical walk and talk shot, the camera leads two characters down a hallway as they speak to each other. One of these characters generally breaks off, and the remaining character is then joined by another character who initiates another conversation as they continue walking. These walk and talks create a dynamic feel for what would otherwise be long expository dialogue, and have become a staple for dialogue-intensive television show scenes.
I was going to say, the thing that comes to my mind is Gilmore Girls, because they walk and talk all the time, like around their neighborhood.
Well, yeah, it was developed by the West Wing.
Yeah, and then someone will pop into a classroom and somebody or someone else will come or whatever. Yeah, I can't even think, until you said that, Elizabeth, I couldn't even think of like a specific example. I just know I've seen that so many times. Like somebody walk away.
For some reason, Gilmore Girls was the first thing that came into my mind. Because then it takes you around, like because they banter so much. They have like the longest scripts of like any television show.
Oh yeah, they timed it and it's like some outrageous number of words per minute.
Yeah.
They timed it. Mm-hmm.
So like they spend so much time talking that they have to walk you through the neighborhood so that they're like doing something while they're bantering.
Yeah, Sorkin shows are known for being very dialogue heavy, and I don't think that Gilmore Girls is one, but
it's
very much in the style. Sorkin shows. So now we've gone through the characters, or some of the characters. Let's talk about why this is the perfect show for right now in history and a game changer even till today. Don't worry, I have three succinct arguments for it. The show started airing at the end of Clinton's second term, but mostly aired during the Bush administration. As I said, it was 99 to 2006.
Is it sad that, like, in current times, I miss the Bush administration? Like, I would take the Bush administration right now.
Absolutely.
Well, give me a minute. I will get to it.
Circus we have.
You just stole her argument.
Remember when that was egregious? Like, Bush.
So, although Bartlett is a Democrat and portrayed as a hero, the Republicans are portrayed as pretty reasonable and win as often as they lose to Bartlett's agenda within the show. So, in fact, one of my favorite characters, Ainsley Hayes, is a Southern Republican from North Carolina. Like, it doesn't get more Republican than that. And she's still lovable and portrayed as, like, not a crackpot. Here is a quote from a New York Times assessment that I just really thought summed it up well. So I stole it. Quote, much as people may return to the film It's a Wonderful Life to remind themselves that feeling worthless does not mean you have no worth, or to the children's book Goodnight Moon to remember that bedtime once meant being enveloped in a cocoon of love, fans revisit The West Wing to recall an era, even a fictional one, When it seemed possible for the three branches of government to be populated by public servants of integrity, intellect, and wit. Unquote. Mm. Thank you, Sarah Lyle of the New York Times.
I'm just nostalgic for the good old days.
For sanity. For fucking sanity. So my second point is that they discuss real topics that are still like incredibly relevant today, despite the episodes being literally 15 to 20 years old at this point. They talk about school vouchers and education funding, AIDS in Africa, the role of religion in public education, LGBTQ plus marriage legality, privacy in the workplace, the press on the internet, political asylum and when it is appropriate, invoking the 25th Amendment when the president is not fit to serve, as well as foreign policy and diplomacy. That's just a hint. Those were the ones that I like could immediately recall the episodes on. So, you know, there's obviously much, much more.
It's timeless.
It also
makes me feel like nothing has progressed in 20 years.
But we're still fighting those issues.
We're still on it 20 years later.
How have we not resolved any of
them? But some of them were not even issues at that point. Like, I'm thinking specifically of privacy on the internet, and Sam Seaborn has a line. This is from 1990. Like, it's season one. This is 1999. And they're talking about, like, the next argument of our era will be privacy on the internet and what people have the right to know. And it's just mind-boggling that Aaron Sorkin saw that problem coming. Like, he saw it a mile away. It's
crazy.
Well,
we also, like, thought the world's going to fall apart from Y2K. So we had all sorts of ideas on what the internet was going to do.
Sure. This show was also running during 9/11, and they didn't express, like, they didn't say that in this universe, like, 9/11 happened, but there was definitely a shift in the episode that aired after that was like patriotism, unity, etc.
I think we talked about that at one time.
Yeah, because...
Oh, we talked about it during the bottle episode.
Yeah, it was a bottle episode.
Right.
Where they all sat in the cafeteria and talked about...
The special that they
right.
did.
Yeah. And discussed... they didn't expressly say anything about 9/11, but they did say... Toby makes a famous analogy about Islamic extremists are to Islam as the KKK is to Christianity. So, yeah, it's... just so fucking smart. My third point is that Bartlet is the president we want but may not deserve right now because he is educated but down to earth and seemingly mortal. Like, you see him struggle with these topics, but in that struggle, he's thoughtful in his response and he is aware of the weight of his office and his decisions. Like, I'm thinking of one specific episode where the priest comes to talk to him about capital punishment. And the priest is like, how would you like me to address you? Because he knew Jed from like his hometown or something. And he's like, would you like me to call you Mr. President or Jed? And Jed says, you know, actually, I would like you to call me Mr. President because, and it's not out of, you know, ego or anything like that.
Complex.
It's just because it's easier for me to separate myself from the office and the job I have to do when you refer to me as my office instead. Like, I'm not Jed the man making this decision. I'm the president. So he takes his responsibilities seriously, unlike some people we know.
Not naming names.
Yeah.
So there's also an update for 2020 in this section.
West Virginia Union episode.
I know. There's a stage version.
Is that real?
Yeah. No, that's real. That's real.
Just like everybody's doing reunion episodes this year.
There's a stage version coming up from this recording, but it will be out when this recording airs, coming out on October 15th. The stage version of the season 3 episode called Hartsfield Landing. This will be on HBO Max. Martin Sheen, Rob Lowe, Dulay Hill, Allison Janney, Richard Schiff, Bradley Whitford, and Janelle Maloney will all reprise their roles as Bartlet, Sam, Charlie, CJ, Toby, Josh, and Donna, respectively. The staged version will benefit When We All Vote, which is a nonprofit dedicated to eliminating voter suppression and apathy in the U.S. And there will be act breaks, like in between, kind of like commercial breaks, that include segments from Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, and our good friend, LMM, Lin-Manuel Miranda. So everybody watch it. Bartlett 2020. That is the end.
Thank you for coming to this Tracy Talk.
Thank you for coming to my Tracy Talk. If you have feelings about The West Wing and you want to tell me all about them, because I will talk with you about them for hours and hours and hours, you can listen to Harpy Hour on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen, please rate us and leave us a stunning review.
Also, if you have stories you think we might like, or you just want to say hello because you think we're awesome, you can email us at harpyhourpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at harpyhourpod. Like us, retweet, share our posts.
Share that
shit.
Let us
know how you feel about the new format.
Yes.
We would like your feedback, whether via email, face, whatever.
Slide into our DMs.
Slide, girl.
Sounds dirty.
Oh, we got my roommate and I just went to Nantucket, and so it's very like nautical place, and we bought nautical flags for our initials while we were there.
E for Elizabeth, M for Megan.
It's an inside joke that nobody's gonna get.
Flashback. Well, no, it's been a recurring joke that yes.
Megan winked
to hide my roommate's identity. Call her Megan, which is actually kind of confusing. I did once have a roommate named Megan.
I was gonna say, wasn't your previous roommate yeah, Megan the one that moved to Germany or something?
Yeah,
yeah.
But so the nautical flags have they stand for an initial, a letter, so you can spell things with them, I guess. Or they also, yeah, if you use them alone, they have just a meaning. And so our initials are initial flags. Mine means stop instantly, and hers means I need a tug.
Oh no.
And they're hanging up together now in our living room.
Stop instantly. I need a tug.
Oh god, I need it.
And we were just staring at them, and she was just like, oh, you know, it's kind of dirty.
Yeah,
I love it.
Oh, I want to know what the rest of our initials stand for.
We can
you
Google
go ahead.
This.
Yeah.
We need to Google this.
I'll pull it up.
Okay. Are you doing it now?
Yeah, but keep going.
Okay. We're also on Patreon. So head on over to Patreon. All the extra money that you just don't know what to do with, give it to us, and we will make stuff with it. We will give you things in return. And leave it at that. The mystery.
Oh, boy.
So, Tracy...
Mm-hmm.
Your flag is keep clear.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
yeah, that's fair.
And Steph, yours is engines going astern.
That's not that exciting.
There might that's be sort good. Of like other or simplified ways of saying it, but no, engines going astern. That's how it appears everywhere.
All right. Well,
there you go.
That's what it is. Also, one of my favorites, which is not anywhere in my name, so I couldn't really use it, but the W flag, so they also go by when you signal them or refer to them, you use the alpha NATO,
mm-hmm,
whatever. Yeah. So the W flag is whiskey.
Nice.
And so the whiskey one means require medical assistance.
Yes. Spectacular.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening.
Okay.
Bye.